You are listening to Crosstalk. A safe place to discuss addiction, recovery, harm reduction, and everything in between. Support for this podcast comes from the Kentucky Opioid Response Effort and Advocates of Recovery. Content and production by the team at Turning Point Recovery Community Center. Now, buckle up and get ready for the show.
Welcome everyone to Crosstalk Recovery, the recovery podcast that supports all forms of recovery. I'm Matt Lewis, and I'm here with
Nathan Brockett.
I'm Tommy May.
Welcome you all. This is going to be cool. I asked Tommy, Tommy asked to be on here, and I was happy that he did, because Tommy and I have been, I've been his peer support for, you know, a while now, and man, I've seen so much growth in him from when he came in here. He came in a little depressed and down, kind of early in his recovery, going through some things, and he's persevered through it. He's stayed in position. He's kept doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's given back, and he's grown through. He's came out of that depression, man, and now he's just really starting to blossom in ways that I've been encouraging him towards, that I'm really excited about. And so when he said he wanted to be on here, I was excited because I wanted him to come on, and, you know, as much as I know a little bit about his story, I'm sure there's things I don't know, so I'm excited to hear some of the things I don't know today. And so we're going to have you share about some of that, man, because, I mean, everybody's got a story and has something to share that could be an inspiration to someone else. And then we're going to talk about some of the other things that you're doing and that I'm doing and that we have in the works. So it's going to be a cool podcast, man.
Absolutely.
So tell us, Tommy, tell us about how you got started in down the path of addiction and ultimately how you came through that to where you are today.
Well, and first of all, I appreciate you guys having me. I remember the first time I met you, came in looking for help, and you're like, well, you got to come see me. So,
and it took you a while to actually do it.
It really did. Well, really where I got started was I come from a long line of mental health issues. Since I was young, I dealt with depression and anxiety and just kind of social awkwardness. And so things like this kind of had brought me out of my box, per se, you know, what I was closed into. I really started, first of all, my drug of choice is, I have to say, probably codependency, but if it was the substance, it would be alcohol.
Okay.
I started really socially drinking probably about the age of, I say, 16. I would hang out with adults. I was really an awkward kid, so I wouldn't really hang out with many kids. So, you know, I'd hang out with the adults and grab the Michelob and, you know, just think it was cool.
Right.
I really didn't, I say the first time I really had an extreme problem with alcohol was in 2005. I was drinking off and on. It wasn't too bad, but I was driving to work one night, and this guy ran across the street, and I hit him with my car, and he unfortunately died a couple hours later. And after that, it kind of, I don't know, man, I kind of was just having a lot of issues, and I really turned to the bottle.
Spiraled after that.
Yeah.
That would be a rough thing to go through, man.
Yeah, it was. A couple months later, I was diagnosed with PTSD after that.
Now, he ran out really, in front of you, right?
Yeah, well, actually, when the whole thing was said and done, apparently the gentleman had been running back and forth across the street, and he was drunk.
Okay.
So they said pretty much like he was aiming for cars, and witnesses had said they seen him running back and forth. I was only going 25 miles an hour, so, you know, he was really full force on that. And, you know, like I said, before that I had drinking every now and then, and there would be some nights I was working overnight. There would be some nights like I actually would take shots of alcohol before I went to work, just a couple, you know. And that night I happened to have been running like 10 minutes late to work. So I just got up and went, and you know,
hadn't drank anything,
and I didn't see it. Like I didn't see these signs God was giving me. Like God was like, I have my hand on you. So you know, I could have faced intoxication manslaughter for something. Like, I mean, just a little bit of alcohol in my breath. And then I actually, that night that it happened, I tried to stay at work, but my job was like, no, you probably need to go ahead and just go home, and, you know, just take a couple nights off. And his daughter actually started showing up to my work, and you know, it was kind of weird because she would tell me things like, oh, maybe it was the best thing for him, he was an alcoholic. And the reason I say this is because I really didn't see it then, but years later, him and I would almost be the same. This gentleman that this happened to, that I mean, I never knew what his name was until his daughter showed up with the obituary. She wanted me to go to the funeral and stuff like that. And I'm sorry, I know this is morbid, but this is really where a lot of, I think,
well, I those things affect you, yeah, to the point and like drove you down a hole,
yeah,
right?
That, yeah, well, yeah, that, but it was also God was shouting at me. God was like, hey. But that, you know, they say, well, and I'm keeping it on me, is in my life, when God shouts, the devil tries to shout harder, man.
Yeah.
And
And
what it is, what it was I was just taking these bad things that were happening, these bad circumstances that were happening, and I was like, oh man, things just keep happening, not realizing that what you go through makes you stronger.
Oh man, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I kind of spiraled out of control. You know, I went through a couple of rocky relationships. Like I said, codependency is always a problem. So when I was little, I kind of had a strained relationship with my mother. By the way, rest in peace. She passed away about a year ago, and I never got to fix that strain before my mother passed. So, you know, I kind of, every day, I, you know, definitely think of that. But and I held grudges against my mom for things that happened when we were smaller, and, you know, through all those years, it just...
Yeah, you know, carrying around resentment, you know, we learned that in recovery doesn't do you any good. It just, you know, weighs you down along with all the other things, depression and, like, 100%. You know, it's all part of the same bag that you carry.
Absolutely. And, you know, then back to what I was saying was, you know, the accident happened, and within it was like a 13-month time span, I attended 11 funerals in San Antonio. That's where I'm from. The violence was getting really, really bad, and it was just all these unfortunate circumstances that were happening. And I was kind of spiraling out of control with alcohol. That went on for a few years. I mean, I was still maintaining a good job. You know, I had my house, had my car. I was like, I'm okay because I'm functioning and everything is okay. But yeah, but it was when I was sober, I felt this void. Like, no matter what I did, no matter if I got a new car, new house, you know, new job, like, these things weren't filling this void, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was just like, you know, I never really tended to my mental health. And I kind of touched in and out with alcohol till about 2011. And that's when I had my first son, Aiden. He's 13 now. He lives in Texas. That's my boy. Awesome violin player, man. My son is prolific with the violin.
Let's go.
That was the first instrument I learned how to play.
Really? I couldn't do it, man. Yeah. I'm too ADD. Like, I'd be like, I can't move this and this at the same time. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah.
No way. Yeah.
It's a tough one.
And then, you know, I had my son was born, and I got sober for, it was about 8 years.
Heck yeah.
I ended up landing a retail management job, you know, had my own store and this and that. And, you know, I had met my second wife, and, you know, things just really didn't work out in the end. And, you know, once again, here I was alone, codependency kicked in. And about the end of 2018, I really hit alcohol again strong, like really, really, really strong this time. And it was worse than before. Like, I mean, I was doing things like, at first it was kind of doing things to see if the people that I cared about were seeing what I was doing to myself. Look, I'm trying to harm myself. Yeah. Like, look, I want attention. Give me attention. Yeah. Hey, like that. And it just got to a point to where, man, I was fighting with demons, man. I attempted suicide a couple times. I was unsuccessful, thank God. And then what got me here in Kentucky was there was one day that I had woke up, and I was supposed to head to the studio to record. And that's actually the last song I recorded before I just started recording about 3 weeks ago. I messed around with a few things, but here on BandLab on this phone app, which is pretty cool if people, you know, just want to jot down ideas.
Well, let's go back because, I mean, that's your first mention of recording, and that's something what we're going to talk about a little more. But so you had been recording for and grew up in
that. Absolutely. I have 30 albums written and recorded.
Wow.
Heck yeah.
I'm working on number 31 right now.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work. I have roughly, within two computers that I had, I have roughly 500, 600 songs recorded.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all rap songs?
It's all rap music. Yeah. I used to be on the show circuit real hard between the years probably of, I say 2006 into about 2008, and then I focused on work.
And was then, that mainly when you were out in San Antonio?
Yes, this was all in San Antonio.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I when my son was born, I backed off of that, and I really started getting back into it about, I recorded the whole time. Like, I recorded music the whole time. But I got back on the show circuit about 2016, and I was really making headway for about 2 years. You know, we were doing 3-4 shows a week sometimes. It was, but the problem with that in the beginning, the second time it was pretty cool because I was sober at that time, so I was actually able to come into these venues and do them sober and actually premeditate these things. You know, way back when, man, God, I don't remember half the shows. I remember, I don't know how I made it home half the night.
Yeah, right. Like,
I remember one night, I think it was in 2008. I had performed with a buddy at this club, and we had got so drunk, and I had dropped him off, and I guess I blacked out. He lived about 6 blocks from me, and next thing I remember, I literally opened my eyes, and I'm like this far from hitting the metal gate
of my apartment. Wow.
Like, and I'm just pull back and reverse, and never got out of the car. I never made it back into my apartment for about 11 hours after that. And I don't glorify this stuff. Like I look at this and like just didn't realize how many times God had His hands over me. Mm-hmm. So how I ended up here in Kentucky was, and I never did rehabs. I did a couple detoxes in 2018 into 2019. Just the 72 hours, get sober. I mean, it was so bad that I know one time I detoxed and I got out the 72 hours. I walked to the gas station, got 2 4 Locos, sat at the bus stop, drank them, and walked right back in.
Yeah.
I did one mental health facility there, but I had never done a rehab till I got here in Kentucky. So what had happened was it was one Saturday morning. I had woke up with a buddy of mine, and I was going to head to the studio, and we started drinking early, and I don't remember anything else. The next thing I remember, I was in San Antonio, mind you. It's like 2 in the morning, and I'm in Dallas at the Greyhound station, standing there waiting for another bus, looking for my stuff. Apparently, I had thrown my keys away, my wallet away, sold my phone, and just came with the clothes on my back, and got on this bus to Dallas, and I had a ticket to Memphis. And I'm like, why would I go to Memphis? So then I'm.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. And I'm just like. And then I'm like, well, my mom, my father was military, and he had retired in Fort Knox. And while him and my mom were still together, you know, they really had an estranged relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, you know, I have nothing. I just quit my job. I gave everything. Let me go to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and see if maybe I can rekindle things with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to Memphis, and I didn't have no money. I mean, I threw my wallet away. Like, I had no money. So I had called my dad, which lived in Elizabethtown. And I was like, well, Dad, I just wanted to let you know. I let him know what had happened. And I was like, yeah, so I kind of need a ticket just to come there, and then I'll just figure it out when I get there. So he had bought a ticket online to go to Louisville, and he picked me up in Louisville. And before we even went there to see my mom, I was like, you know what? Just take me to the crisis unit. I was like, that's all I could think to do. I said, I don't know where my life's going right now. Mind you, a week prior, I was a store manager. You know, music was going good. I was working on my new album, setting up videos.
What do you think the catalyst for that was?
I don't know. I think that literally God had His hand on me.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, because I don't remember anything. Like, literally.
And you're just drinking?
That's it. Just drinking.
Did you, was there, Were you still in a relationship with their...
No, me and my second wife had separated. So I was, you know, really like...
You would sound like he was spiraling a little bit in here. You know what I mean?
And as you talked about, the mental health thing was probably still unaddressed and a factor in that. Yeah.
You know, and the alcohol will just exacerbate that. I've had similar experiences, you know what I mean? Where it's just, you know, a switch. And here I am doing something crazy. Don't even realize what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
And I mean, these are things that could have literally killed me.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine throwing my wallet and keys away and, abandoning my entire life and jumping on a bus.
Yeah, and apparently, and you know, and it really hurts me. And, you know, I'm really trying to fix these things with my 13-year-old. You know, I was only having him on the weekend, and I was actually supposed to leave the studio that day and pick him up because me and my son were having the most awesome times. I mean, he really didn't understand why I wasn't home, and we were best of friends, man. And it's just, it's something I couldn't explain to him at the time, and it's something I couldn't explain to myself.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, I literally had no answers for anything in life. So I do 7 days in the crisis unit, and they set me up for a rehab here, which was which the first one was Recovery Works in Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there and finished that, and I ended up just kind of staying here. And I mean, I really don't want to get in details of a lot of that at this current time.
Right.
In the future, but just within the next couple of years, I'd stay sober for about 8 months and, you know, end up thinking, like, started smoking marijuana, like, thinking, well, it's okay, you know, I'm not drinking, so I'll just smoke weed, and it just never worked like that. Like, it would always end up in alcohol, and then problems would happen, and, I'd end up drinking, and not even a lot. It would be, if I would relapse, and I ended up on the 99-proof airplane shots, man.
Yeah, man.
6 or 7 of those, and that would be it. My sobriety date from drugs and alcohol would actually be July 6, 2022, but what happened in 2022 kind of changed a lot of things. I was really getting my life together here in Kentucky. I had another retail management job, house, car, you know, things like that. I had 2 more sons when I got here, so I have Israel, he's going on 4, and Iverson's going on 2.
Sweet.
So, you know, I waited till I was 30 to have my first, man, and I was like, you know, I waited.
Same here.
So now I'm like, man, I'm 43 with a 2-year-old now, man. But it's awesome, man. I wouldn't change my kids for the world. But
we'll be right back.
You never thought you'd be here. This was not in your plans. You knew it could always happen, but not you, right? If someone told you in the beginning that you'd live in a car, destroy your family, sleep on the street, flatline on a stretcher, or that all the bad company that handed you that first drink, smoke, pill, or needle would be nowhere to be found today, you would have said, no way. But here you are, and addiction took everything. What now? Well, you weren't the only one, and it doesn't have to end here. You just have to reach out for help. There is a life on the other side of an addiction crisis. At Turning Point Recovery Center, we're here with the resources you need to start that new beginning.
Both of my sons, they were both born with heart conditions. They were both put in NICU. We were told that my son Israel wouldn't live for 36 hours. He was born in Murray, and they brought him here to Paducah. And it was right around the COVID time, so it was really strict. Like, nobody could be in and out. And I literally sat there and stared at this little boy for 36 hours and just watched him miraculously pull through this whole thing. Like, and then, you know, it was a really scary thing. And, you know, then my 2-year-old was born again. He had a heart condition. They flew him to Louisville. We were there about a month. We got him home in the beginning of May 2022. And a lot of personal things were just rocky. And on May I want to say it was about 21st. I was having a really bad day, and I took a whole bottle of pills, antipsychotics, and I died on my front lawn twice. The EMS brought me back to life, took me in. I spent 72 hours whole. I told him, you know, no, I'm okay. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to kill myself, blah, 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 just to right. get out of there because, I was just.
Yeah.
So then I get home, and for the very first time in life, on June 1st, 2022, I tried methamphetamine.
Yep.
And that lasted for 2 weeks. And it was, oh, my God. You know, I was addicted by day three.
Yeah.
Right.
I had literally, I was barely going to work, you know, I say by day nine, it was pretty much psychosis time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was the scariest, probably 4 days that I had ever experienced. By day 14, I was just like, we can't do this. So we thought our house was haunted. So we moved out of our house, like gave our house up.
Yeah.
We had just got the house. Like, we were like, man, there's ghosts upstairs. We're out of here. Man.
Right.
So,
wow.
I had gone to a counselor, and I had told him that I was depressed, and, you know, I had tried methamphetamines, and the next day, the counselor called CPS on me, and they came and took my children.
Wow.
And, you know, for the longest, I was like, oh, they can't do that, I'm blaming, but you know what, man, they did absolutely what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because who am I to, you know, I have children here, and I'm really, so I battled with that for a little while, you know, really being angry about it, and look what they did, it's their fault. No, really, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
My kids just came out of foster care this past December 18th, man. It was long, long, drawn out process. I went to Recovery Works again, and on July 6th of 2022, stayed sober off drugs and alcohol, but a lot of personal things started happening again, you know, fighting through this whole case and jumping hurdles and going, doing IOP and doing all this. A couple months after that, we had set up a visit with our kids at the DCBS office, and I don't know if it's okay if I say, you know, DCBS office, you know, I'm not mentioning no names, but the detectives were waiting for me.
Yeah.
Arrested me for wanton endangerment of my children.
Mm-hmm.
Took me to jail. And that's crazy. You know, I, in my 20s, like I said, I'm not going to get it a lot, but, you know, and being from the big city, I got away with a lot of dirty stuff that I did in my 20s.
Right, sure.
And, you know, I got to 40-something, really no criminal record. I had a petty weed case. It's not petty, but it was just, you know, back in 2008, just 6 months probation, finished that. I was good. And I flew a straight path, really nothing on my record. That was a misdemeanor. And they arrested me for one endangerment. I spent about 2 weeks in jail. Never again, man.
Yeah.
And in that instance, I lost my job, of course. I mean, I'm in jail for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You're a store manager. Like, what do we tell, you know? I got out. And we I just really jumped through hurdles, man. Again, personal relationship really fell off. Got seriously depressed, felt like there was no one. Codependency came back into play, and I had been prescribed medicines for my depression and anxiety, and they said I had bipolar disorder, PTSD, and one day I had taken a whole bottle of one of my pills on the way to see my father, actually, because he got remarried. My father actually... He left my mom after 25 years, which, you know, I kind of held a little bit of a grudge on that because he knows how my mom was when we were little. And I just kind of was like, well, why'd you wait till all these years, you know, after things, after it was good for you, after it was convenient for you to get out of the relationship, which I wouldn't have cared if he got out of the relationship when we were smaller because we know how my mom was. And right. God rest her soul, I love my mother.
Yeah.
But and it took me a little while to get over that. But I completely understand. I get it. I mean, my father spent a lot of years working really hard and making sure that everybody was taken care of, and he dealt with things from my mom and the verbal abuse and the physical abuse the same way that we did. And he took it, and he, you know, finished his career, and he did what he did as he did what he could as a man. And my father deserves to be happy. So, Dad, if you're listening to this, just know that I'm really happy for you, and I'm glad that you're happy. So I was going to be dropped off up there to spend like 5 days just to kind of get my head right after all this was going on. And I took a whole bottle of pills, and by the time I got there, I was like seriously hallucinating. Like, mm-hmm. I pretty much told my stepmom, I was like, I just need to go to the hospital. I got to the hospital. I was seeing little villages in the walls, and I had never seen for like 3 days. They admitted me into the hospital there, and then they took me to a crisis unit there, and I went to Step Works and did that program, and I got placed here in Paducah at the Oxford House, which I've been there since May 31st. And it's changed my life. Four Rivers, Oxford House, Turning Point. I mean, this has seriously saved my life. But one thing that seriously, seriously saved my life was knowing what to cry out to help about for. Mm-hmm. Really specifically pinpointing what I did. I actually, about 6 months ago, they had me on these meds. I took myself off all meds, any mind-altering substance. I used to be like, no, you know, I got these problems, so I need something. I need something for it. But I've never been more clear-headed than I am now, just being off any kind of mood or mind-altering substance. I remember sitting in that bed at the Oxford House for a few months, man, and I swear I was in battle between the devil and God trying to see which way I was going to go. Like, and it took a while. I had to suffer in silence for a minute.
That's kind of when we first met and you started coming in here, and I was trying to get you to come in and see me for one-on-ones, and you weren't able to make it, but you'd come in every so often for a meeting, and I'm like, you know, come in and see me. We'd set up appointments and miss them. And I knew you were going through it. And finally you like got to the point of like, yeah, I need to come and do this. I've been saying I was going to do it. And you started coming, and you came in just like that, still in the middle of that depression, like low, upset about your loss of your kids and where your life was at. And you're at the very beginning of like starting to build all that back, you know. And, you know, but I could see that you had the desire and the heart to do it, that you were, even though you were struggling, that you weren't a quitter, you know. And
well, for me, it was God.
Yeah.
God did it. That's really at this point that I could say now is I didn't see that. I didn't see that even 6 months ago, but just knowing that he's telling me to put one foot in front of the other no matter what. But don't do it running away from everything. Like, and that's just been a problem of mine.
Yeah, that doesn't solve anything.
Just running from it, man. If I can get away from it, if I don't have to see it, if I don't have to deal with it, then I don't have to deal with it.
I don't have to feel. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Absolutely. Is the feelings is the part that, I mean, I had always masked. I had always masked the feelings. Like, I had never wanted to feel that. Like, I always wanted to be the, hey, I'm in a good mood guy. Everything's great. And, really feel the substance of a problem, man. Like that. That's what's been so great about the last, man, almost year, is because I've hurt so much.
It's
awesome. It's bittersweet. I never knew I could feel like this, but still stand up. Like, I still have rough days now. I still don't want to adult sometimes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's what I tell people. Without those hard days, without going through the hard times and experiencing those things, you're not going to appreciate the good times.
Absolutely.
Like, if life was always just unicorns and rainbows, you wouldn't appreciate it. You wouldn't be grateful for because that's just how it always was. And I know that's how I would be, you know, but going through the struggles, you're hitting those rock bottoms, those lows, those trials, losing things and building it back, and trusting God for me also is like a huge part of my program and what has gotten me through. You know, and then now you can appreciate a sunny day. You can appreciate when something good happens in your life. And you can, when you're going through a struggle, you can remember, hey, I can get through this, and there will be brighter days on the other side of this, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, and I really appreciate you highlighting mental health recovery.
Yes, sir.
And all this. I do. Like, you know, I think, you know, think it's awesome that we're all so confident about how mental health affects people and substance use added on to it. It makes everything so hard. But, you know, hearing, you know, and thank you for sharing all that, by the way. Absolutely. That's some stuff. Yeah. And I'm glad you made it through, for sure.
Absolutely.
And highlighting that although I've been through all of this, I can still stand up. That's motivation for me. And, you know, talking about asking help for the things that you need.
Absolutely.
You know, not just, oh, I don't know what's going on with me, but at least reaching out and doing something about it, taking charge of, because it's your responsibility to take care of that, and you're doing well with it, and now you're able to reap the benefits of all of that.
Absolutely. And I think that it's great to be able to target this, and it's not an easy thing to target that. You're right, because I had to find it for me. I would always be like, "Well, somebody else has to
tell me
the
what's
answer.
Wrong."
Yeah, you got to know. You got to know what the answer is. You got to be here too. When I stood alone, mm-hmm. was when I heard what I needed to hear crystal clear.
Yeah, that's awesome, and that's tough. Absolutely. That's sitting by yourself with codependency stuff.
Doing the hardest things you have to do in life reap the best benefits.
Yeah, it's the willingness. And the realizing you had to do something, then the willingness, then the action. And though it was hard for a while, you persevered, and you knew that you had to keep. You reached out for help. You came to see me. You did the other things that you were needing to do. You pushed forward. You trusted God. You know, like, all that. And, like, that was another one of the reasons why, as you well know, that I was happy to have you on here today, because early on, you know, when we were meeting together, you were telling me about your, you know, used to rap and your music and stuff. And that's something that I'm passionate about, is my music that I do, which I play guitar and I sing different songs. And I started, punk bands back in the day and the madness, you know, always a mess. But since I've been sober, you know, my message has been positivity, hope,
absolutely.
Recovery, what God has done
absolutely.
For me. And so that passion and having that purpose has evolved so much for me in my recovery, from in rehab writing songs mm-hmm. for a talent show.
Right.
That I won, which was, and then I got consequences where I had to play my guitar for guys who were new to the program every night for a week. That was a punishment, but it ended up being like one of the benefit. Biggest rewards, right. because I saw how it helped them, and it made me face fears and having to play in front of people sober. And then I just kept writing songs with the intent of spreading positivity and hope. And, you know, and that creative outlet, I've always been a creative person, whether it be art, music, whatever, expressing myself through that way, through my troubles, through my successes, through the things I've learned, helps me. And hopefully it helps someone else. And so when I heard that you were, you know, had this interest in music, but you had kind of forsaken it because you were at a low point and a depressed point, I was encouraging you, like, Ben,
absolutely
you should start
you
to,
yeah.
you should start to write, man. You should start to write about these things you're going through, you know, because other people are going through them. And it was a long process for you to get motivated to do that, because you had to work through some other things and get to a point, because I know how it is. I used to think that I was at my best creative at my darkest times, but now that I'm, like, living this way, I can see that I'm way better
absolutely.
In a positive mindset.
Absolutely, right. And I'm so glad you say that, because it's really quality over quantity. Because, sure, I have all this music, right. but most of it was the wrong message. And what you exert out there is what's going to come back. Like, you know, people would say, oh, you're great with your wordplay and you're great with putting songs together and this and that. But the thing is, the wordplay is fine and the words rhyme and it makes sense. But what message do you actually have with this one thing you say? You can say five sentences and it can be more than a whole album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if it connects with someone and it connects with them in a positive way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the thing. People, in recovery and people going through things identify with your music, and you, like, you've started to do it, and you've only been doing it a short amount of time, but you put out a few really great songs.
Well, thank you, man.
And I mean, I've been encouraging you the whole time, so I love it. You know, and the fact that you, went out and performed for the first time at the Oxford House Masquerade Ball recently.
I kind of bombed on that, man.
Man, you went out there and did it.
I forgot half my words, though.
You went out there and did it.
Yeah,
I encourage him to death. Like, he is so critical of himself, and I'm just like, every time he cuts on a video, I'm over it. Woo!
We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. Did you know it's illegal to own just one guinea pig in Switzerland because they get lonely? Here at Turning Point, we don't want you to ever be lonely either. That's why we are open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Always feel free to come hang with our friendly staff, and don't forget your guinea pig. We're located at 415 Broadway Street, downtown Paducah.
One thing I have always wondered is who put the alphabet in alphabetical order. At Turning Point, our goal is to help you put your life back in order. If you struggle or have struggled with substance use disorder and are in need of help, come see us at 415 Broadway Street, Paducah, Kentucky, or call 270-444-3621 and sign up for peer support services with one of our friendly staff who have lived experience with addiction. Hope to see you soon. Yeah, because for a while I would just record my stuff, and I made some silly music videos, and I'd share them, and hopefully help somebody. Yeah. But only recently have I been telling my story and playing my music at rehabs in different places, and the doors have been opening up for me, and I every time I'm a little nervous, and every time I got that, but I enjoy the anxiety, and I enjoy that sense of fear, because I know behind it, as I face that, I'm going to grow through it. And every time I've come through.
Because that's what we do in recovery as well, is we face that anxiety and we face that fear.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Got to get up and do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've had people come up to me afterwards crying, telling me that my song helped them. And, I'm like, that's awesome. That's what I want to happen. But it still surprises me every time it happens.
Right. And one thing I want to make clear is this isn't a money game for me.
No.
Especially, maybe, some years ago, it may have been, I'm going to make some money. Like, I have 3 movie scripts written. Like, I write movie scripts. Like, I'm going to make $1 million off this and quit my job. And no, it's not about that. Actually, about 3 weeks ago, I read a passage. I read Ephesians 4:29. Do you mind if I read what that says? And this is for me.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Sure. This is what it said. And
how you connected with it, yeah.
This opened the door. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen."
That's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. And in a 3-week time span, I've written, it's over 30 songs I have written in the last 3 weeks.
That's awesome, man.
All profane language is out, all glorifying any type of, it's about
the sex, the drugs, the women,
all out,
the money.
All out.
Yeah.
All out.
Yeah.
The devil has no part to do with this.
Yeah, you're trying to spread the message about, one, what God's done for you, one, your struggles through recovery and how you persevered through them, And that's what I love, man. It's uplifting. It's edifying, like that verse said. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually do a Bible study, and we've been going through Ephesians over the last couple months, and that verse we went over, and it stood out to me, too. I've been working on my cursing for a while now.
Absolutely. I literally,
it's a struggle.
And I literally watch – I really limit what I watch on TV. I limit the things that I put myself around now, because really, I feel like it kind of blocks out the organic essence of what I'm supposed to project to others.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and
awesome, man.
I totally relate to you on that. I'm so proud of you for what you're doing.
And I really appreciate you, and I appreciate Turning Point, man. I'll tell you what, when I first came in here, I didn't care if I was here the next day. I didn't care if I lived. I go home praying that I die. Like, it was. Yeah. It was, and this was sitting in the Oxford House, and shout out to Oxford House. I really want to give a shout out to Gizmo and a lot, just Danny, Raj, a lot of people really, they
yeah
saw through things and really yeah. gave me, and really, Matt, I really appreciate it, man. You've been a godsend to me as well. Like, that's I remember the first day I walked in and said I needed help with my rent, and you was like, well, why don't you try coming in and maybe we can, you know. And I was actually, for a minute, I was like, I don't want to help you. And then I'm like, well, yeah. Like, I was still in that, how do you say it, where I think people needed to do things for me because I was going through something. Instead of me having to do what I needed to do to get myself out of that situation.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. When you're willing to do your part of the work, then there are those people who are there to help you. And I mean, I wish that we could help everybody that walked through the door, but we have to see that you're willing to put forth some action first. Yeah, then we're willing to back you 100% on it. And you've been that person. Like, now you've been awarded the housing scholarship and all kinds of things because you've continuously come back. You've made your appointment. You put in the work. And look at where you are today. You're happy, positive, as opposed to you coming in here thinking the world owed you something and depressed about not wanting to live or die, to now you're creating and putting out positivity into the world. And I'm so excited to see where this goes for you, man, because you have a lot of talent behind it. And that's another thing, one of the reasons I wanted Nathan to be on here today was because Nathan came up with this idea almost a year ago, I guess, that we've been bouncing around with, and I think we're going to tease it here today.
Yeah.
That we well, go ahead, Nathan, you tell about it.
So, you know, here at Turning Point, we have all these different events we do to get the recovery community together, because that's what it's about, right? Getting everybody together, fellowship, recovering out loud for sure. And I'd say about a year ago, of course, I have firing thoughts constantly about stuff, as anybody that's around me knows. What better way to gather folks than doing a concert?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Everybody likes music. People connect over music. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are all about that. You know, I like music myself, and I'm just not as with the creative part of it. But, you know, and I thought about it over and over and over one day. I was like, Matt, we ought to do something like this. And, of course, he's like, yeah, man. The only thing is, though, if we pull this off, he's gonna play, which is fine.
I can't wait.
But, yeah, but it's more, and it's not anything to get Turning Point on the map or just be some big gigantic thing, man. It's more to get people together with music. I mean, it's been happening for years, big concerts. They do concerts for benefits and things like that to help people, but I really think that would bring folks together.
Well, what I connected with it, so right, one, because I, you know, I'm love playing music and I think it's great, but I connected with it right away because that was one of the things I've always loved, going to see live shows or going to festivals and things like that. Yeah. And once I got sober, the first few shows and festivals I went to, it was awkward. It was like the Talladega Night. What do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
I didn't have a beer in my hand. You know, I was like, but I quickly realized, hey, I can remember the show. Yeah. I'm not getting kicked out. Yeah. I get to actually see the band I wanted to come see. And I know that other people in recovery either are afraid to put themselves in those situations because of that, or, you know, or go, and then it caused them maybe to return to use. So you saying, let's put on a Rockin' for Recovery where we have music, but it's sober and it's sober for fun, people in recovery, and it's for this community. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, that's what we need, a place where people can go and do something that they enjoy do. Here's some good music, and you know, not have to worry about that everybody else is messed up except them. You know, absolutely, like,
and it's legitimately for the community, by the community, is the idea. It's nothing that's meant to showcase the particular agency or get somebody famous or nothing like that. It's fun. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like recovery needs more of that. Hey, this is fun. We're not a glum lot, as they say.
Well, because music is such a euphoria.
Exactly. Yeah. I know, because I get chills when I hear his music sometimes. And it's like, you know, those things. And then that might create the opportunity for the individuals that aren't as good as expressing their creative outlet. Who knows? You might get somebody up there that's like, oh, this is something that I want to do. I want to give out this positivity that I have when they see other people do it. So hopefully it'll have more of an effect than just bringing people together. Maybe it'll stir something. Maybe it's some, you know, recover out loud is the idea. And I think just making that space for that to happen. You know, us being able to promote and get people involved. You know, like you.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's exactly right. Like, and then once he start, once Tommy he started doing what you're doing now that with the rap, perfect. I was like, yeah, I didn't want, I don't want it to be one genre of music.
No, man.
You know, absolutely. Because every in recovery, we have so many different pathways. So many people absolutely. Come from different things, and everybody likes different things, but that doesn't, it doesn't mean anything. We still come together and have a good time and have fun. And so I was like, once Tommy started doing this and it was good, you know, I'm like, all right, yes, we can do that. We can have some rap. Yeah. We can have me play my guitar. That's we can beautiful. Get some bands to play. And I, and like, only recently we were like, let's have other people in the recovery community, you know, who are willing to do it, play the, with the, kind of like a musical talent show of sorts, you know, and we're going to try to get a couple big acts to headline the thing, but just to have like this community come together and, you know,
and it's called Rock and Recovery, but don't get it twisted. It's not rock. It's, you know, we want to show the exactly. Yeah. Us here in Western Kentucky, we're Rock and Recovery.
Absolutely.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And you know, that's so awesome because things like that give people that are secluded in their, what they're going through, it gives them the inspiration to speak out when they 100%.
See others. 100%. And that's the beauty of it. And that's, you're with your story, your music, your creative outlet, just like yours. There are people that hear these things, that see these things, that are like, that feel it. Absolutely. You know what I mean? They're the resonate.
Or hopefully encourages people who are better at it than me to do it. You know, like
me too. Exactly. Exactly. You know? That's what it's all about, is seeing the next person succeed.
Because just like we say, if I can get sober, anybody can get sober. Yeah. Well, if I can play my guitar and sing, I mean, we call it singing. I don't know like what it really is, but if I can do it, then
you're awesome, man.
Somebody else can do it awesome way either. Better. So. Yeah, man, I'm so excited for this. Hopefully, we'll have more. This is a tease on that, but there'll be more information. We're shooting for this fall to have that, and it could be something, the first of many that could just grow. Who knows what it could turn into? And I'm super excited for it.
You know, for anybody that's listening, if you have any ideas or were interested and want to get involved, please comment. I know we post this on YouTube. Comment your thoughts and things like that, because the more people we can get involved, the better off this will be. You know, the more let's get some folks together. Absolutely. Let's have a good time. Let's recover out loud and show other folks that, you know, as they say, we're not a glum lot. We're,
absolutely. You know, and I also do want to say, in the last few weeks, I really appreciate everybody that's supported me through this music. The few songs that I've actually let some people hear, it's been so awesome, man. You guys have been so awesome. I do want to let y'all know that I will be coming with different social medias. I'm still behind times. It's been a while, so I'm going to get a TikTok. I'm going to get a Spotify. I'm going to do all that. I have a YouTube music, but that's going to be cleared off. I haven't really touched that 4 or 5 years. I have things posted that are the wrong message, so we're going to start with a clean slate, and we're going to really use these platforms to help others and give back and just really, I want to be able to spread a message of things that I saw so that possibly the next person could be like, well, you know, I'm not the only one. Right. Somebody else is. And I really feel like, you know, that God gave me a voice to use, and I've used it for all the wrong reasons for such a long time. Yeah, and it really took getting sober and just the fog clearing, because, you know, I know they say that the fog clears, you know, in a week the fog clears. No, it takes a while to start getting them, you know. Even now, man, I see kind of emotional immaturity myself still that I learn every day.
That's the great thing, like seeing it and like, oh, I know what to do about this now, you know. And I know I have people I can talk to about this now.
Yes, life is beautiful, man. Pain is beautiful. It's all beautiful when you can feel it.
And just one last thing, man. You know, as peer supports or people in the helping field, it's oftentimes that we don't get the opportunity to see the effect of what we do. So, you know, you coming out here telling your story, you being a living, breathing example that, sometimes it's tough. But on the other side of it, going through the things you've been through has helped you turn into this person that has a desire to put real change out there. And being on our end of it as peer supports or just people that help folks, it's so inspiring, empowering, and spiritual all at the same time. So,
well, you know, thank you, and vice versa, because seeing what you guys do and just what you've done for me and what you guys just what everybody has done for me, like, and to think I was entitled on y'all. No, I've been through this. And you got to help me. No, you owe me this. Nobody owes me anything, but people were still there.
Yeah, and you owe it to yourself to continue and put good out there, man. You know, it's awesome. I hadn't got to know you except through him, but everything has just been it's been awesome to hear. It's a product of good works and well, strong faith and things like that. So, you know, kudos to you for well, the job you, well
man.
Done so far.
Y'all too. I really appreciate everything, man. It's great.
All right. This was a good podcast, man.
One more thing. Facebook search Tommy May, okay?
I'll probably post some of your music at the end of this.
Yeah, man.
And,
great.
You guys check out our YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, share, comment.
Yeah.
Listen to our audio versions on Apple, Google, Spotify, Podbean, Amazon Music. And as always, stay grateful.
Tommy May and I'm an alcoholic, and by God's grace I'm now sober and recovering a little more each and every day. It's definitely been a wild ride. This is just a bit of my story. This is where my struggle unfolds, where my story begins. Yeah, life sinks in, the ink bleeds from the pen. All my thoughts, all my fears coming deep from within. And I've been dealing all the energy, been seeking revenge. But I need a better way, so I use this for my vent. Before I go and do something that I deeply regret. All the hurt, all the misery was making me sick. There's some things in my past and I need to repent. Words to the paper, read it back, make amends. On a different mission with it, I ain't following trends. The streets don't love you, it's a war you can't win. I can't give it all to God if you struggle with sin. I'm way far from perfect, but I learned from my past. Way I was living, it was killing me fast. Took a life, rest in peace, the results of a crash. All I see when I close my eyes, the windshield smashed. Now I never see a future or fix his addiction. So for that, I gotta fix mine and ask for forgiveness. His daughter reached out and said, I'm not to blame, but I dealt with the regret, cause him and I were the same. The pen hits the paper, the words just flow. Way more than brainstorming straight from my soul. It's my worries, all my fears when I'm sitting alone. It's the flaws, it's the growth, it's the cause, it's the hope, it's the rights, it's the wrongs. As I write these songs, it's the strength to go on. It's the reason I'm strong, it's the reason I'm still here. My meaning, my calling, these words on this paper, tales of an alcoholic. One summer night I was buzzing, not quite drunk, in a mix of toxicity, confusing it with love. Codependency like Hennessy, my most potent drug that I could ever be around, being drugged through the mud. Arguing back and forth, I was tired of being put down. Grabbed a whole bottle of pills, thinking I'ma put my foot down. Took the whole prescription, took just a couple minutes to realize that I may have just signed a death sentence. Died twice on my front lawn, they brought me back to life. And I knew I had left, cause I really seen the light. And the thing about it was, I just didn't wanna fight. Then just a week later, I was addicted to ice. For the first time ever, I had really done meth. On a 2-week binge, just wanted more drugs and sex. By the end of week two, my whole life was wrecked. Lost my kids, lost my house, lost my dignity, respect. Then a couple months later, police set me up. They set on the way up to see my kids, they was waiting with them cuffs. When endangerment was the case that they gave me. And through all these mistakes, yes, the Lord still saves me. The pen hits the paper, the words just flow. Way more than brainstorming straight from my soul. It's my worries, all my fears when I'm sitting alone. It's the flaws, it's the growth, it's the cause, it's the hope, it's the rights, it's the wrongs. As I write these songs, it's the strength to go on. It's the reason I'm strong, it's the reason I'm still here. My meaning, my calling, my words on this paper, tales of an alcoholic. Rehab after rehab, looking for an answer. Death rate for addiction is up there with cancer. I didn't really care though, feeling so abandoned. Nothing in this life had gone any way I planned it. Alone in my room, talking to my demons. Voice in my head getting louder, they're screaming. I wasn't bathing, wasn't sleeping, wasn't eating. Everybody that I loved just keeps on leaving. I was feeling like suicide's the way to get even. I don't want to drink again, but I was hurting, I was fiending. Needed just a little bit to take off the edge. Depression settled in and started messing with my head. I kept waking back up, just wanted to be dead. I'll fade away anyway. way to forget everything I said. Miss my family bad, man, I hate to be alone. Stand at the screen, nobody calling my phone. Gave up on life, I was really feeling low. Then one day I got up and I let it all go. Picked the pen back up and watched my confidence grow. Now I'm back and I'm better than ever, I'm in a zone, yo. The pen hits the paper, the words just flow. Way more than brainstorming straight from my soul. It's my worries, all my fears when I'm sitting alone. It's the flaws, it's the growth, it's the cause, it's the hope. It's the rights, it's the wrongs as I write these songs. It's the strength to go on, it's the reason I'm strong. It's the reason I'm still here, my meaning, my calling. These words on this paper tells of an alcoholic.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction or in recovery and needs guidance, speak with Turning Point's team of peer support specialists by calling 270-444-3621. You are not alone, and we are proof that recovery is possible.